BBC LearningEnglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
This series is all about chunks of language. Now, forget about dictionaries and grammar books. You don't have the time for that. You want shortcuts to quick, fluent and natural-sounding English. I'll be joined each week in the studio by business English expert David Evans. So, David, why are chunks of language seen as the way forward?
Well, I think the basic idea is that that's the way that native speakers learn the language. So why shouldn't non-native speakers do the same thing?
But traditionally, non-native speakers have learnt pieces of grammar, they've learnt the rules about grammar and individual words.
Yes, and obviously there's nothing wrong with that. Learning a language word by word or rule by rule is an effective way of doing it. The trouble is that in the business world, you need to be able to communicate quickly and under pressure. And it can often be hard to find that grammar rule or find that word if you've been learning the language in that way.
And of course, the business world is full of these chunks. Can you give some examples?
Yes, I mean, business, as you say, is full of collocations, that's words that go together, stock expressions, idioms, the list goes on. To give you an example, I suppose, just with the word business, you can be in business, you can go away on business, you can travel business class, you can go around the business world. There are hundreds of these examples.
Now, each week, David and I will look at a different work scenario and explore the kinds of English expressions commonly used within that situation. It may be useful to have a pen and some paper ready to write down what you hear. In this first programme in the series, we're starting at the beginning and helping you to get the job you've always wanted, because today we're looking at interview language. Job interviews are difficult anyway, even more so in a second language. But don't worry. Today's programme is a useful guide to some of the most common English expressions that you'll need in an interview. Let's get started. Here's an example of an interview situation.
John, hi. Sit down, make yourself comfortable. John, tell me, you're already an office manager in a medium-sized finance company. Why do you want to come and work here?
Well, I don't know how much you know, but the company have been having some problems. Quite a few staff have been laid off, actually. And
right.
Although my job isn't immediately under threat, you just can't tell. I'm not sure what the future will hold. And in any case, I felt that it was time to start moving up the career ladder, and I feel I want a little bit more responsibility, and that combined with the state of the company convinced me that it's time to move on, really.
Now, the interviewer there asked a classic question that people often ask in interviews. They come straight out and say, "Why do you want this job?" And what was John's response?
Well, John was actually a bit negative at the start. He said that he was a little bit worried about his position in the company at the moment. He said quite a few people have been laid off. That's another way of saying quite a lot of people have been made redundant. They've been asked to leave the company because the company is experiencing some kind of difficulties, and so they're reducing the number of staff. So he says that he doesn't know what the future will hold. He doesn't know what's going to happen in the future.
So he begins the interview a little bit negatively, but then he changes and starts to emphasise the positive.
Yes, he says that he wants to move up the career ladder. We often talk about careers as being a kind of ladder because it's something you try to climb up. So he begins to be a bit more positive, and he then goes on to say it's time to move on. It's time for him to make a change and take the next step on the ladder of his career.
Well, it's time for us to move on too. This time we're going to hear language in another interview. It's Christopher Beale. He's a recruitment consultant and he's interviewing someone for the job of salesman for a pharmaceutical company. Now, that expression, move up the ladder, is something that you'll hear again, so listen out.
So let us suppose you had moved up the ladder in our pharmaceutical company. What would be your priorities in approaching your job?
The first would be to make sure I had the support of the people working underneath me. The second would be to make sure that my immediate boss also understood the role that I was trying to play within the company. And third, would be to make sure that the customers were satisfied.
Can you tell us a bit about the question form that we heard used by the interviewer there, David?
The interviewer, I think, said, if you had moved up the ladder, what would be your priorities in approaching the job? So what he's doing there is he's not asking the interviewee about a real situation. He's asking about a hypothetical one.
So this is an imaginary situation then?
Right, an imaginary situation. And he clearly marks this with the language that he uses. He's using there a structure which I think we'd call the second conditional. And you'll often hear interviewers ask questions like, what would you say if you faced this situation? How would you cope if you dealt with this problem? Those kind of things.
And why are hypothetical or what would you do questions so common in interviews?
Well, I think it gives the interviewer an opportunity to ask not about the interviewee's past, but it gives him a chance to understand how the interviewee might behave in the future if he or she should get the job. And I suppose the important thing from the interviewee's point of view is to remember this is a hypothetical situation, so choose the correct language. In other words, you should answer the question with, I would. If I faced that situation, I would behave in this way. If I had to deal with that problem, I would do this.
You're listening to Business Language to Go from the BBC World Service. Something that's very common in interviews is asking people about their good points and bad points. Could you elaborate, David?
Well, it's a pretty typical interview question. You know, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What are your good points and bad points? And for the interviewee, obviously the thing is to make sure that you've got lots of good points and not so many bad ones. You know, you shouldn't be too hard on yourself. And when you do mention a bad point, it's often a good idea to show that you're not only aware of it, but that you're also trying to improve. So you could say, oh, my bad point is I'm not very good at Arabic, for example, but I am taking lessons every week.
You'll now hear two interviewees talking about their own strengths. Listen out for the language that they use.
John, any other strengths that you feel you bring to the job? I mean, what are your strengths and weaknesses in the workplace?
What I bring to the job are very, very good organisational skills. I'm strongly motivated. I'm highly committed. I'm very much a self-starter. I feel that my people skills are fairly well developed, and I feel the scope to carry out that side of my duties even better. And I firmly believe that the combination of my people skills and my organisational ability is the right combination of skills to do this job really well.
If you were assessing yourself on your own strengths and weaknesses and your good points and bad points, how would you summarise them?
Well, I would look at it that I'm self-motivated. I can also work with a group of people. I know that I can motivate them in a manner that is good for the company.
Let's look at some of the language that was used there to talk about personal strengths. David?
Both the interviewees emphasised that they were motivated. I think we heard expressions like strongly motivated, self-motivated. The first interviewee said he was a self-starter. We heard the phrase highly committed.
And all these expressions, do they all mean the same thing?
They all mean roughly the same thing. These are all phrases that emphasise the fact that you're keen to do well, that you want to work hard, that you're ambitious, you want to succeed.
We also heard some very concrete examples of things, skills, basically. Tell us about the language that was used to talk about skills.
The first interviewee talked about the combination of skills that he can offer in the new job. I think he talked about his people skills, in other words, how well he deals with people, communicates, manages. And he also mentioned his organisational ability. In other words, he was trying to explain that he was efficient, well organised, good with systems. I think another key term that's often heard in interviews as well is team player.
Meaning?
Well, a team player is somebody who works well with other people.
The key to successful interviews is being positive about yourself. Finally, let's hear a typical end to an interview.
Right, well, that's pretty much all I want to ask at the moment. Do you have any questions for me?
I'd just like to know what the timescale is. When do you expect to be able to let us know?
Did you notice the expression pretty much? The interviewer said, I think, right, well, that's pretty much all I want to ask at the moment. And this phrase, pretty much, is a typical phrase in English. It's what we would call a vague marker.
Vague, meaning?
Well, meaning not precise. And it's an in, indication here that the speaker is thinking about something. In this case, changing the subject, bringing the interview to an end. And we heard the interviewee reply, "I'd just like to know what the timescale is." Again, that word just, which the interviewee is using to make everything a little bit softer, a little bit gentler, so that he doesn't come across as being too aggressive.
OK, thanks, David. And just to say that David Evans will be joining me next time for more Business Language to Go.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.